Hopefully everybody has an outline. The outline for today should say, giving and forgiving, the greatest lifestyle on earth. Giving and forgiving, the greatest lifestyle on earth. Good to see so many new faces today. I'm glad you could make it. And thank you for coping with our weird environment. We have a little bit of a weird environment sometimes around here. We're doing all things. First you're standing, then you're sitting, then you're looking, and then you see a video, then seeing somebody else, and all kinds of crazy stuff. But wasn't the worship wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You guys did such a good job. Oh, we just thank you that we get to worship the Most High God. It's amazing. It's amazing. So hopefully everybody should have by now an outline. If you don't, you could raise your hand. They'll get to you. Ushers, you're listening to me, right? Or you can go back there and get one if you just can't stand it, you know. But I know it should say giving and forgiving, the greatest lifestyle on earth. And I say that with a straight face and full of conviction and a lifetime of testing that one out. And so how many know us pastors are very, very wealthy? And I have lots of money. We have all the time in the world as well, you know. We just sort of lay around, think up a message, you know, think, oh, that sounds good. Come on in, say a few things on Sunday, and we're done, you know, it's great. So, truth is that all pastors, all leaders of every kind have to learn these lessons we're going to talk about today right at the very top, right at the very beginning of anything they want to do in the Lord. Giving and forgiving are just part of walking with God. It's a great part of Christmas, isn't it? That's what we do. We're giving and forgiving, right? Forgiving part's a little tough sometimes at Christmas because these in-laws and outlaws sort of show up at the last minute, you know. Before you know, you're dealing with uncle whatever you haven't seen, you know, in 10 years, or you found yourself in awkward family positions, which make you be a giver and a forgiver, you know. And so it's just very strange family environments and all of that that requires something of us. In the way of forgiving sometimes, and I know I'm not talking to any of you, but just in case, and of course giving as well. But I just want to say that according to the scriptures, not according to me, but according to the scriptures, you look through them, you realize giving and forgiving is just the basic wonderful lifestyle that Jesus gave us. It's the greatest lifestyle on the planet. We wouldn't really want it any differently. And if Jesus hadn't modeled it for us and showed us the way this works on the early disciples, then we wouldn't understand. But he modeled it perfectly for us. And let me just say this, you can't ever outgive God or out-forgive God. God's always forgiving more than you think, and he's always more interested in you than you could think. You can't outgive him. And that's why the interesting passage about giving, give and it shall be given to you, is just such a powerful thing. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. We'll get to that in a minute, but so when you give, it's not just that you release something. That's the most important with a good heart and a motive. But it actually pays dividends in your life because actually Jesus is a giver and a forgiver. And he didn't just do it one time or two times. He does it your whole life. Always, always, always. It's wonderful. And so then finally, you know, as you begin to realize that, you start really falling in love with God. Sometimes I think we go for years and years and put up with God, right? Or hope to survive God. But as you get older, you begin to thrive with God. You begin to understand how really good he is, how really great he is, how interested he is in you and everybody around you. And when you make that transition, you're going to be the happiest person on the earth. When you haven't quite made that transition that God's a giver and a forgiver, it's tough. But here's the deal. He wants you to be a giver and a forgiver just like him. So our desire, if you could look at your outline there, hopefully everyone has an outline. It should say giving and forgiving, the greatest lifestyle on earth. Our desire for Vineyard Laguna Niguel is that it would be a church full of supernatural grace and glory. Supernatural grace and glory. Now I want to read to you something from Jack Hayford, one of his books. How many of you know who Jack Hayford is or was? Wow, almost everybody. All right. So listen to what he said. This is one of the most profound statements I've ever heard. And it's a scriptural statement. It's coming right out of the scriptures. Grace and glory can't be bought, but they are to be caught, right? So a change in our posture toward people, as surely as a change in our posture toward our possessions, is the goal Jesus has in mind. I'm going to read it again. Grace and glory, what I mean by grace, I mean God giving you something, God equipping you for something, God helping you in some way, yes, healing your body, giving you money, whatever it is, but most of all, eternal life, right? Yes. The ability to live forever, pretty good gift, I'd say, right? Glory, it can't be bought in the kingdom. You can't pay money for them. I mean, sometimes we even try that, you know, try extra this, extra that in the service, make it become a meal glorious or whatever. But really, in the end, no matter how much you put around it, God's presence got to be there. One of the greatest things I thank God for, so at least I can feel it, which is really important for me, is I've never, ever seen a time when we've gathered together where God didn't show up and there wasn't glory there. I could feel his presence for all these years, all these many years. And in fact, I feel like sometimes, especially in the last year, it's just actually been increasing, the sense of God, the sense of the supernatural. But I want to read this again. Now, look at it carefully, okay? Grace, that is God's free gift of eternal life, obtained by the asking and believing, and glory, the glory he gives you by the Holy Spirit filling you with the angels ministering to you. The same glory that we see on the Son of God as the angels are ministering to him. The same glory and grace that we saw on the Lord Jesus Christ was meant to be for us. But you can't buy it. And you can't manipulate it either.
Amen.
Buy it with money or manipulate it. It's to be caught. In other words, it's something that's imparted by God. The things that we need that, to fulfill God's will. That would be the next line, a change in our posture toward people. In other words, we find ourselves being generous. We find ourselves actually loving people, starting with our wife or our husband and working our way out, right? Or our children. A change in our posture toward people, people that have done us wrong, people that haven't been nice to us. As surely as a change in our posture toward our possessions. So, change in our posture toward people, our relationship to people, our kindness to people, our mercy toward people, and even the mercy that we receive from other people, which is a change in posture. Some people have a really hard time receiving from another person. Church is all about that. Church is about an exchange between people, but it's a supernatural exchange. I cannot tell you, watching all these years, I mean, it's a list. I just go through. I just can't tell you how many miracles I've seen delivered through the body of Christ, how much provisions come through the body of Christ, Jesus operating through ordinary people to meet a specific needs. You don't have to go to church, you get to grow a church. And if you say go to church, that's not it. It's not just that you're attending somewhere, but actually, even if you just show up, sometimes you get whacked, right? Somebody comes up to you with an unexpected gift or a word. But when you join the church, it's just like one big provision and one big giving unit. Because the Spirit's operating all of them, and God's the best giver of all, but turns out his plan was to use us to give to each other, right? So when we get a hold of that program, that actually the way he likes to bless us is through other people mostly, and then there's those sovereign things that come straight right to us from heaven. But so there's glory, there's grace. So a change in our posture toward people, as sure as a change in our posture toward our God, is the goal Jesus has for us. Posture toward our possessions is the goal Jesus has in mind. So he changes our posture toward people, all kinds of people, bad people, good people, close to us, friends. And he changes our attitude toward our possessions. So those two things, love for people, kindness, goodness toward people, forgiveness toward people. It's a huge one. Remember, the word give is in the word forgive. So it's also very similar to a change in our possessions that we give, literally, that we're giving our possessions, right? But we're giving toward people in lots of ways besides possessions. But our posture toward our possessions, how we handle our finances, right? How we handle what God has given us to bless others, is the goal Jesus has in mind. That's by Jack Hayford. He just summarized the Bible right there, pretty much. I mean, just summarized it. So a lifestyle of generosity toward God and others, and this would be love, forgiveness, time, money, other ways that we express generosity, results in the floodgates of heaven opening over us and our church community. In other words, you don't have to be giving and forgiving. You get to be forgiving and forgiving because it pays incredibly high dividends. And I'm not talking about in the supernatural heaven. That's the greatest dividend of all. As you get wiser and smarter and more longer in the Lord, you realize, hey, that's really the most important thing of all. I know where I'm going. I know where my relatives are going. This life isn't just for now, but I have eternity to live with God forever and ever. And things that haven't even been revealed to us, have no understanding about, that's how great it's going to be. Beyond even what we could ask or think. Wow. Even what we could even conceive, it's going to be better than that. All right? So that's good. But a lifestyle of generosity toward God and others results in the floodgates of heaven open over us and our church community. So I just mentioned some things. Giving love toward another people, forgiveness, time, money results in the floodgates of heaven over us and our church community. That's why it's more blessed to give, the Bible says, than to receive. We always think, well, that's a nice little poem. I like the way that sounds, you know. Surely that's true. I want to be like, you know, but actually, the truth of the matter is, he's not kidding. There's dividends to this. I tell you what, older you get in the Lord, the more mature you get in the Lord, what you do becomes, you become a little entrepreneur in the Lord. You realize certain lifestyle produces really great dividends. A selfish, crummy lifestyle, all about you, all about yours, all about whatever. You don't have time for anybody. You don't have anything for any, you know, money for anybody. You don't have any way of sharing. You don't have any relationship with anybody. Oh, what a miserable, miserable life that is. Because the kingdom of God, which rules everything, isn't put like that. The kingdom of darkness loves to keep you in that place. Just plays you like a little puppet. He moves you over here and he moves you over there. And you think you want this and you think you want that, you know. Wow. I don't want that. I want this right here. I'll tell you what I want. Let's read Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change. That's interesting. So the God of the Bible, that's what you get, right? So it'd be good to know the Bible a little bit so you know what he's like, right? Because he doesn't change. He's the same all through the generations. He didn't change in the 20th century. He doesn't change in the 21st century. Not going to change in the 19th, 15, 2, 1, 3, whatever century it is, right? I, the Lord, do not change. I think that's interesting the way to start off the Lord is going to say next. Very interesting that he says it that way. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. If I didn't have such compassion and grace for you continually, you would already be dead. Because you about violated everything, every spiritual law in the universe, and you didn't want anything to do with me. Yes. And you treated other people terrible. But because I'm gracious, you're not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and not kept them. You haven't said a word, done a word I've said. Well, maybe you had some seasons. It wasn't just all like that. And there were some obedient people in the bunch, right? But it's very interesting, his summary of the whole situation. This is Malachi. It's coming at the end of the whole Old Testament. And you read through January. I mean, I say January because I always read through the Bible. But, so I think in terms of the time as well. When you read from January to December, or you read from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, you're going to find this whole thing of turning away from decrees, not keeping them. But then he goes this, and this is also all through the Bible. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Come back to me, I'll come back to you. Simple as that. But you ask, well, how are we to rob? I mean, that comes next. How are we to return? Now that's, okay, so let's just don't even look at verse 8. How are we to return? Now what comes next is pretty important in light of whatever was said there, isn't it? You've been rascals. You've been naughty. How are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? What do you mean? Well, you ask, well, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. Now, what a weird thing to say. I mean, if I just stopped it right there and we just had a conversation about robbing God, what would we think? You know, what would we say about that, right? Well, he answers it. I mean, right here. In tithes and offerings. Tithe meaning the first 10% of your income. Offerings meaning special gifts that you give. But not just about money. Yourself, your energy. In other words, when you look at Jesus Christ as a model, if there was anything, think about this. He was a giving person. He's the Son of God. He could have anybody do anything. Snaps his finger, Herod's dead. You know? He could set himself up in the greatest palace, greatest mountain. He could enforce it so everybody's worshiping him or else. But he had a different plan. You know what? I want the people that worship me to actually love me. I want them to actually know me as a person. I want you to, and then I want to make them like me. Well, it turns out that Jesus is a gift and God is a giver. And so at the center of all world history, it's for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. Who did he give? His only Son, his only begotten Son. Whoever believes should not perish, that is separate from God, but live, have everlasting life, right? So at his core, from the beginning, from Genesis to Malachi, with Jesus at the very center of the whole thing, he's a giver. He's a giver. And that's important for you to know, important for us to know, isn't it? Because that's what he's going to make us into. That's what he expects of us. That's the greatest lifestyle on earth, giving and forgiving. And it all centers in Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life, everything, and he forgave everyone that would turn to him. Everyone that would just take his free gift of eternal life. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yeah, you rob me, but you ask, well, how are we robbing you? Now he says, well, okay, Jesus hasn't come yet. And your everyday lifestyle, here's one way you can express not robbing me. You rob me in tithes and offerings. Now the tithe was this thing that he put in the Mosaic law to give the first tenth of your income to the Lord. But it was more than the first tenth because there was a lot more involved with that. Not just a tenth, but also there's all kinds of offerings and sacred festivals they have, worship times, special times that they would have, special times of giving. And it was all meant for their own sake, to keep them steady in worshiping the only God, the one wise God, in a sea of false gods and false religions who are evil to the core, who draw you away and destroy your life and destroy whole countries and nations and peoples. Murderous, thieving, evil environment. So he says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yeah, you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? Well, this is something he required. I want you to give tithes and offerings. Because you don't, you're under a curse, your whole nation. Because this is what I ask you. I'm just asking to give the first tenth of your income, first of all, and offerings according to the temple worship that keeps you focused on me. And it also keeps you not only focused on the worship of me, but it keeps you focused on you get your provision from me and no one else. Amen. There's no other lifestyle but worshiping me. And I am a good God and I will provide for you. I'll provide for you in every way. Yes. Matter of fact, the whole thing of tithes and offerings was not a thing to hurt you. It's a thing to bless you. Amen. It's a thing for God to take and multiply. He knew that over his people. When they did his law, and they did the tithes and offerings, the law also, the way prescribed in the word. It was nothing but blessing. Increase, increase, increase. Any way you want to measure it, right? And that's important. Any way you want to measure it. But I think it kind of comes down, especially as you get older, you realize there's just a few things that are important. You know, I sure like my kids to love me. That'd be nice as I get older, right? I sure would like to have enough financial. I'd like to be healthy as I get older. You know, I'd like to have some sense of purpose that I accomplish something as I get older. You can tell I'm getting older. Every year that passes by, you think more and more about that. I think you should think about that when you're 15, which I have. It's less meaningful or intense until you get along, and then you begin to see the meaning of life, and then you begin to say, you know, I wish that was there. I wish this was there. I'm grateful that that's there, right? Yeah. All right, and tithes and offered. You're robbing me, he said. That's interesting the way you say it. I thought it was just a religious thing. No, you're robbing me. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. In other words, nothing's going right. Bring the whole tithe, that's the way, tithe meaning the first tenth of your income, into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. In other words, that the constant worship of God, like worship in this place, and in that case it was the temple, that the constant worship of place would be at the center of your life. And that worship would go up like we gave. And that time it was these animals and sacrifices. And this time it's the worship, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of worship, giving, sharing the beautiful thing of the body of Christ. That there may be food, that there would be a house, food in my house. In other words, enough to continue the house. Whether it's a building or whether it's a leader keeping them in place or the warehouse or some service that we do. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. tithe means tenth, the tenth of what you have, that there may be food in my house. And then he says this. This is great. This is the test that we all face, but hopefully by God's grace, most of you are past this test and on into further territory. This is just the beginning. Tithe means the first tenth of your income, but there's many, many ways to give in your life. Amen. The bottom line is, when do you transition into a giver instead of a taker? That's a basic transition from childhood, right through adolescence was a tough one. Because they're still taking pretty hard, at least most teenagers are. And they transition into being a productive giver. They're then in turn doing the same thing. That's called growing up. Well, the same thing in growing up in the Lord. You don't just come and assume everything given to you. Don't sit around and grade the worship. Oh, that was like a 9 today. The other day it was a 7. Thank God they got a little better. That sermon, it really stunk. I mean, he didn't say one thing I liked. I'll give that one a 40% for sure. But last week it was pretty good. I gave him an 80 then, you know. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. Just test me. Give me a shot at this. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be enough room to store it. We're talking about just spiritual blessing? No way. Every form of blessing that you need. So you be a giver and find out what happens on the other side. He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. I'll keep the pests away. I'm going to keep those nasty mosquitoes and everything else that's eating your stuff, or whatever other stinking pests come around to steal from you. Broken water pipes, thank God for Chuck, and whatever else. I don't know if he heard that. He's right there. He's coming in now. Thank God for Chuck. I like that. He's coming in. So anyway, I'll prevent pests from devouring your pipes and your lawn. Man, I had pests this year. Almost burned my house down. Electrical decided to go wacko. I had to replace all electricity in my house, all electric wiring. Because somebody decided to put the wrong kind of wiring in there, and I can't remember which one it was, but it's the kind that you probably should get out of your house. Not knowing that, the walls started burning. That was a pest. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you what? Blessed. For yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, we got a little bit of that in the United States. We're a blessed land. Why does everybody want to come here? Partially, it's because of our early church heritage and the obedience of our church fathers and the obedience of our country and how it was founded. Now, we could change that at any moment. So our job is to keep that thriving because that's where the nation gets blessed. The nation needs us, don't even know it. They don't have no idea. You take away the church, total disaster. Because we're praying, everything changes. We're giving toward everything. We're the kindest. We're the real thing. We actually are really attached to the Most High God. And we actually have sway with him. We can actually call on him and change things. Pray for your government. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give. That's the greatest way you can sow. Bring a gift to the Lord is asking for your government, asking for those that are in charge that they'll do the right job. Even the nasty ones, even the ones you can't stand. So there's people I can't stand, but but whatever you do, don't stop short of that. All you do is develop a bad attitude. Start praying for them. Tell them. And if they do something good or something you like, say, well, that's good. More of that, Lord, more of that. You actually have the authority to change that.
Yes, God.
You think you have the authority to complain? Well, I guess a little bit. You're in a democracy, whatever. But why don't you just take on your authority to pray, too, and you might find a little bit better change.
Amen.
Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So I believe some of the blessing, nay, much of the blessing, and grace around the United States is because of our spiritual heritage. Isn't it weird how the enemy is just trying to get rid of his spiritual heritage? He's trying to attack the church. He's trying to attack every position, every which way they can get in and mess it up. Because he knows. Take the church out, then you really got a disaster. Right? You could change the law here, change the law there, do this, that, policy, fight all day over. But you pull the church out, start persecuting the church, you got a real problem. You got a serious problem. Now you're dealing with the Lord of the universe. In ways that you don't want to deal with them, right? So let's look at Roman numeral 2. So we're talked about a little bit about giving here. And we'll get back to that as well. But let's talk about forgiving. Forgiving others. Notice the word giving is in the word forgiving. Starts with experiencing the forgiving, generous heart of God and releasing that same compassion to others. We love, why? Because he, what? First loved us. That's why we love. That's really important. We give because he gives to us. It's a natural result. Peter comes to Jesus, this is Matthew 18:21, and asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? It's so funny because that sounds like a pretty big deal, seven times, right? Jesus answered, yeah, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And he almost probably just about swallowed his tongue at that point. You know, what are you talking about? 77 times. First of all, I hope there's nobody around that's going to do me wrong that many times. But in case they do, he said 77 times. Wow. Therefore, the kingdom of God is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. That's the way God is.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But you can't keep going there. Cancel the debt and live to fight another battle, the right battle. Don't go there again. Don't get stuck in that same place again. Get out. Get out. James 2, verse 10. I'll read verses 10 to 12. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at least one point is guilty of breaking it, all of it. Yeah. I thought I was doing pretty good. Is this really true? Wow, turns out your good stuff and everything, they count in heaven, you get rewarded for it, but I mean, wow, I'm basically guilty. I was born that way. I'm not doing well when it comes to the relationship with the Lord, because one sin is enough to separate me from God forever and ever, because he's holy and perfect. So how does a holy and perfect God deal with people who aren't so holy and good? For he who said you shall not commit adultery also said you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker, and it's so on and so forth. It goes right down the line. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now we have to understand here, the very core of this is the mercy of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, because of what he did on the cross and shed blood for you, mercy, sacrifice, an offering was offered to you. When you take God up on that mercy and you receive him in your heart and say, God, I want to follow you. I don't do it perfectly all the time, but at my heart, I'm making a change. You just got introduced to mercy. And that mercy not only is something that you do, but it's something you receive. When you know how much mercy you've received, you give mercy. And mercy always triumphs over judgment. So when you learn the mercy of God and the love of God, there always triumphs over every other judgment. Right? In your life and in other people's lives and overall. And also there's this thing that God does, and it's really important, because he brings this person called the Holy Spirit in us when we get saved. And this merciful Holy Spirit is always moving us toward love. Not only that we would love other people, but this is a secret that a lot of people just skip right over because they're so busy trying to earn God's favor even when they already have it. But what they forget is there's this Holy Spirit who loves to give mercy, who loves for you to know mercy. He loves for you to experience mercy. And so he wants to give that to you, and he does give that. But we get closed down. We get to feel guilty over a sin or a breakdown. We don't even know that the Holy Spirit has mercy. Mercy that's so real and so tangible that you feel the love of God bubbling up in your heart. That's what he's talking about here. We shouldn't fall short of that. That's why we constantly talk about the love of the Father. Because we love because he first loved us. When we feel mercy, we feel compassion, love, then we begin to be a lover. Amen. You can't help it. Yes. It's just that we get cut off from the mercy. But mercy operating in your soul always triumphs over judgment. First of all, it triumphs legalistically in the sense of God had mercy on you and covered your sin with the blood, and all you have to do is confess your sins and be honest about it and say, God, I need mercy, and you get mercy. And the second part of it is that you show other people that same mercy you've been given and live that lifestyle. And turns out that the more you live that lifestyle, the funner and better it gets, because mercy feels good on the inside. Sin, arrogance, judgment feels bad. Why don't we just live on the other side? And we try to provide for ourselves, try to do all kinds of things so that we'll be more provided for, but God has His own plan, His own way. And part of it is the exercise and release of giving and mercy to other people. Well, that's why He says, give and it shall be what? Given to you. He's not kidding. And I'm not just talking about supernatural, super spiritual stuff. I'm talking about money. Give and it will be given to you. I've said it one time, and now I'm a little older, and I've said it 1,000 times more now today. Now I have a whole lifetime of living. I discovered it's true. You cannot outgive God. And you give it, you just got to keep your tabs, get your notebook out, and keep your book by, and just wait for it and watch for it.
Yes.
And be a part of actually living in this merciful life is watching mercy when it comes and tabulating it. Have you ever noticed that with children? We got to grow out of being children. Here's what children do. You give them some mercy like 3 days ago, and they don't remember a thing you gave them 3 days, right? You give them all the Christmas gifts possible. 2 weeks later, they don't even, you know. It's like, brat, you know. You know, then you have this kid, when they become unusually grateful, wow, man, they draw everything out of you. As a matter of fact, some of them are pretty conniving, though. They actually are very good to you. Secretly, they may be living, you know, but they're very good at, you know, making you feel good about yourself. You know, hey, Father, you're just such a good dad. Thanks so much. I always know with my kids there's something coming, especially for my youngest. I always knew what was going on with him. Dad, you're just such a good dad. You know, I just like the way you did that the other day, you know. And then I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. Here it comes. See, I wonder how long it's going to take this time. If it's a really big thing, it's going to take a while. A little bit more. Dad, man, you work hard, don't you, Dad? Stuff like that. Now, he's grown up a lot from that, but he just sort of had the habit, right? And actually got to be pretty humorous when he started doing that, because it's like a plane going down the runway. You know what's coming, you know? And then what's going to happen? Woo! Here comes the request. Now, could you do this for me? You know, it's the whole thing. Well, the great thing about it is you don't have to beg God. He already loves you. Just ask Him. You don't have to play manipulative games. You know, if I'm super good on Tuesday and Wednesday or for most of the year, you know, I could probably live like hell for a month and get away with it. You know, we do all this bargaining on the inside of us. Or we think we live like hell so bad, we think, you know, maybe I should go to church, you know. Honey, let's go to church. You know, because you're thinking about all this stuff and how you've been sliding back and all this stuff. So look at Ephesians 2. 12 to 13. Remember that at the same time, the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Citizenship in Israel, isn't that interesting? He started with the first people and then included all the other people of the world through the Jews, through the benefit of the Jews and that Jewish person called Jesus Christ, and include the whole world. So He made one man out of them both. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. He's writing to Gentiles here. Without hope, look at this, and without God in the world. Oh, man. If God's not good, if He's not giving and forgiving, then you're not going to have God in the world. So that's how good He is. He's a really good at it, too. He's really good at giving and forgiving, and He wants you to get really good at it. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice, the ultimate gift in the universe, makes all other giving possible.
Yes.
First, you become born again by receiving Him. The gift of eternal life, knowing that no matter what, you're going to live forever and ever. And then it's the gift that keeps on giving. He keeps shaping you and forming you. And you become a giver. And the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. So you become a giver, but you get all the more. You start giving and sacrificing, and you get all the more in your relationships, in your life with the Lord. In every area, you get even more and more. Enjoying God's abundant life is directly dependent on forgiving others. So notice that in the word give, we also have the word forgive. It's actually inside the word forgive, right? So as we look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 26 to 35. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So this is a king that's settling debts with his people, right? And that's the context of it. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I'll pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant, 'And you wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. 'This is how my Father, Heavenly Father, will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.'" And that should be one of the scariest passages you read in the Bible. Mercy and forgiveness are at the top of the line of what you're supposed to give. And if you don't treat your brother or sister, guess what? That's how the Heavenly Father will treat you. In jail. There's lots of people in jail. If you're in jail, emotionally, mentally, physically, or anything, God's an expert at getting you out of jail. But the best way out of jail is exactly what Jack says up here in the top when I began. Become a giver and a forgiver, and you'll be great. You'll work out great. I'll read that again. A, grace and glory can't be bought, but they are to be caught. A change in our posture toward people, even people that we don't like so well. That's why Jesus said to love your enemies. That's a hard one, a very hard one. He didn't say it'd be easy. And actually, sometimes they won't let you love them, but you do your best. A change in our posture toward people, as surely as a change in our posture toward our, what? Possessions, is the goal Jesus has in mind. So changing our attitude, because the word forgive has the word give in it. So you have to give something in yourself to let something go, to actually forgive them, right? My accounts with others are my direct responsibility. The body, heart, and mind cannot bear the weight of unforgiveness toward others. That's the secret that a lot of people don't know about disease and illness. The body can't handle bitterness. Literally, physically can't stand up to it. The root of all kinds of illness is bitterness. Bitterness not let go, bitterness harbored. And bitterness is a stinker. It's really hidden. Sometimes we have bitterness, and it's so important that we be truthful with ourselves. Be honest, because whether we realize it or not, if God defines it as bitterness, it's bitterness. And if we are honest with ourselves, we can see it. Even if you don't know the Lord very well, you can see. You understand. And I've talked to a lot of people, and sometimes they'll just freely give it to me, you know. I'm bitter, you know. Usually it's people that don't know the Lord very well. I'm just bitter. I'm angry. I'm upset. And then when you get the little self-righteous part in there, it gets really bad. Because I'm bitterness because they did this, this, and this to me. And yes, that person sin. But you actually have to understand how the universe is put together. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. That whoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. The way he put it together is even one sin is an affront toward God. And guess what? So we see with Israel, and as a good example for us, one sin usually leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, which leads to another sin. And the thief uses your sin to steal, kill, and destroy from you and everybody around you. So this is why it's so important to receive Jesus and get forgiven and then keep getting forgiven. There's nothing better for your spiritual life and your physical life than to be a good confessor. I did it, Lord. I did it. Sorry about that. I did it. I honestly did that. Go apologize to whoever you need to say. Apologize. And you're clear. You're free. And man, you're open for business in the kingdom. Good job, son. I was wondering when you're going to learn that mercy. Now I'm going to put mercy on you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Not just your salvation, but mercy in your life. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. All kinds of things. Because I mess up. I just need mercy. I need that in my life. I need to know that's in my life from God and from other people. It's such a beautiful thing when you experience mercy. You, but God expects us to be merciful, right? Giving and forgiving. These two things, the greatest lifestyle on earth. So let's look at Roman numeral 3. We should expect great blessings to flow from a lifestyle of abundant giving and sincere forgiveness. So I've been talking about forgiveness a little bit. There is reciprocity in giving. The Bible calls this sowing and reaping. So we look at Luke 6, 37 and 38. Here it is. It's interesting. He starts right here and then he gets into money in the next verse. But this is a form of giving. Mercy is a form of giving. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Whoa. Well, who's judging you? Well, that serpent called the devil, he's a great lawyer. He knows the word backwards and forwards. And when he sees you messing up, he goes, wow, he's messing up. I think I'll come and steal. I think I'll take something from him. I think I'll try to attack, see what I can do. And the guy's been doing that so long, he probably won't even be aware. He probably won't even be able to pray me away. He won't see me because he's been on my side so long, he doesn't even see me anymore. He doesn't even know that I'm stealing from him. I'm taking from him. That was a good one. You could say wow on that one. That's a good one. I even said wow when I was speaking that. Inside. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, whoa, and it will be given to you. You don't have to be a giver. You don't have to be a tither. But if you do, it's really good. Good measure. Press down. Look at it. Look, a good measure. Now, he wanted to underline that. He could have just stopped right there. Given will be given to you. But Jesus didn't stop right there. He says, because they're not going to believe that. Here, I want to underline what I mean by that. Given will be given to you. And then he goes this. A good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. This is agricultural talk because that's what they knew. It was mostly an economy. So if you've got a huge crop, it's going to be more money. And you're going to do better, right? A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, we all know what that means, we pour it in your lap, for with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Wow. Man, I wish I could keep that right at the top of my mind all the time. Not just measuring financially, but the way you treat people generously with your time, your effort, how kind you are, how you let things go, how you not always condemning or, being the enforcer, and just keep judgment out of your life as far as you possibly can. Because judge not, lest you be judged. I'll tell you, it's the worst, stupidest thing you could do. Carrying around a critical spirit is one of the dumbest things on earth. You just start getting measured out. And the enemy? He's a legalist. He's paying attention to you. If it wasn't in the world, it wouldn't be so bad. But he takes it and he nails you with it. He knows the law better than you. You think he hasn't read the Bible? No, he knows all about it. He's been defiling and hurting and ruining people for years. That's why God brought the law. He brought it to help us understand a little bit better. Then he brought grace and mercy so we could be equipped on the inside to do the things that we're supposed to be doing on the outside. He said, without his power, it's impossible to keep the law, but you got a good stab at it when mercy comes in your life because you know God loves you. And he's been, not just that God saved you from your sins, but that God saved you from yourself, that God actually loves you, wants to do good for you. I came, he said, that they might have life and have it abundantly. He's a good God, that you begin to know this good God. You know his measurement out. Then you start doing that with other people. You do it from the inside out. Now, you know what the law means and what that could be for you and how destructive and horrible. The good news is you've got Jesus inside of you and you just keep drawing on those resources of the Holy Spirit and he'll more than gladly show you his way and he'll more than gladly bless and bless and bless you. He said it right there. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I know this takes faith sometimes to give. Even tithing, giving the first part of your income to the Lord, it takes a lot of faith, especially as you go on and get more kids and you get older. Oh my gosh, You're not providing for yourself now. But listen, I'm telling you, this is a law and it works every time. And God's also gracious in this thing. He'll help you. He'll disciple you. Give it a little shot. Just give it a little try. Start growing in it. Start growing in it. He'll lead you that. He'll lead you like a little child, right? And then you'll figure out, wow, 10th is great, but I could even do more than that. Oh, yeah, and I'm going to have less if I do that. No, I won't have less. If I keep sowing, I'm going to get more. I know how this thing works now. I got the system named. I got it gamed now. I know how it works. Here it is, right? I'm generous that person. I'm letting him off the hook. God's going to let me off the hook. Yeah. I give this person time, I'm going to get more time, right? That's the way it works. There is reciprocity in giving. The Bible calls this sowing and reaping. Luke 6, 37-38. Again, do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6-15. Another lovely set of verses. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's hard to do sometimes when things aren't going so well. But that's precisely the moment. And generosity is defined by where you're at, not by what anybody else has. Well, that guy gives tens of thousands of dollars. Well, maybe he makes hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? But for you, it's proportional. It's just whatever is generous for you, right? And there's a standard, like a tenth is good. That's just the starting point. But tenth is good, like that. But also, there's other ways to sow generously, just with your time and energy. I tell you, some people are good about their money, but are horrible with their time and energy and care for people and kindness. Some people are just generous all the way around, through and through. And I envy those people because I'm not like that. But some of them just seem to be by nature like that. Dawn. And I could go about 17 other people like that. Eric. I just got to point you out. I got a whole room full of you generous people. Kind in every way. Good, generous people. In spirit, in time, financially, every which way. Some of us don't have much money. No problem. But you got time. Amen. You got time. You can sow that. And you got kindness. And you got words in your mouth that can bless people. Yeah. And you can notice people in the corner that aren't doing well and put an arm around them. So many forms of giving that all count. God sees it all. Whoever sows, so many different ways to sow. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's no more generous person, cheerful person in this whole church that gives things away than my wife. And I thank her every day for it because she's discipled me in this from the day we got married till now. And evidently, I needed a lot of discipling because I needed a wife as cheerful and as kind and giving as she is, right? So she showed me the way, and she's helped me a lot. And sometimes God gives us a partner like that that kind of helps us a little bit, you know. Never flinched about anything we ever gave in our whole life. No matter what amount it was, what we were doing, financially or otherwise. She's always on the other side of it. Well, I think we should do more. No. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Whoa. I like that word. Abundance. Ooh. Yeah. Abundance. It just sounds good, doesn't it? Abundance. Yeah. But it gets even better. Look at this. So that in all things. Whoa. What do you mean all things? You mean like things I really like? Yeah, all things. You mean like really things I like? Yeah, well, it's provided it's not against the law. Yeah. All things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower of bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, I'm just talking about money here, but any time you give away your time, your energy, anything you give away that comes out from yourself, it applies to this. You'll be enriched. You will be enriched in every way. Give time and you'll be enriched with time. Boy, time's money. We say that all the time, but it is, especially in our culture. I think time's a big deal. You'll be rich. I just love it. When I see people volunteering for things, and we have a lot of volunteering that goes on, it's just such a beautiful thing. Thank you all for all the gifting you guys gave just for that women's dinner that we did and other things we've done through the year. It's just amazing. Thank you for all the service and all the things you've done at the warehouse and time you volunteered and all kinds of other things. The children's workers are some of the best. They're not here right now. But they give week in and week out, and some of them are so spectacular. You know, when I see one of those people, I'm just like, now I'm praying for you. I can't help but pray for them. They're just loving so many people. It pulls grace out of you to pray for them. And when you see them do well, you start clapping and rejoicing because they've been sowing so well. And when people are for you like that and they're blessing you, I don't know, if a person walked up to you, Lacey, and said something about cursing you or whatever, you might shrivel up like a grape. I would, you know. Oh, my gosh, I got to get that off of me. They said, Jenny's, pray for me, please. But if they come up and say, I bless you, da-da-da, may you, Lord. Do you take it the same way? Oh my gosh, he put a blessing on me. I'm gonna, wow, this is amazing. That guy, that lady, she knows the Lord. She blessed me. Wow. Do we treat blessing like that? We should, because the tongue, if it can destroy something, surely it can create something. But the tongue says that. It's like a fire. But it could be a nice, warm, pleasant fire that makes you warm at night, right? It isn't always, fire can go both ways, as is a lot of things. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. That's interesting. You sow seed, your righteousness lives forever. It's all going to follow you into eternity, all of it. Every gift you give, every tithe you gave, every pleasant word you said to a person. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Are you getting that? Yes. You cannot give God. Yes. Give and it should be given to you. It says you will be enriched in every way. Yes. What? He's talking about finances here. But you'll be rich in every way. Every way. Marriage, family, whatever. So that you can be generous on every occasion, through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. How is that? Well, other people enjoy this. They're giving thanks to God because somebody gave them something. And they knew it came from God, but it came through another person. But they're thanking God for it. They're thanking God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people. He's talking about the Corinthians giving this amazing offering to another church. But it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, meaning that you gave it to them and all these people are saying thank you to God. Because of the service by which you approved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Isn't that interesting? You're sowing financially, you're giving them practically, but don't underestimate the power of a prayer praying for you, for what you gave to them, for what you did for them. Praying back in that secret place, blessing you. If they were in that place secretly, you heard about it, and you heard somebody was cursing you, you would shrivel up like a raisin. That person, oh man, then you start painting, oh my gosh, they must be cursing me again in that dark place they were in. No, no. We get far more credit if we hear somebody's doing that than somebody blessing us. But look at that. If cursing could make us feel that way, how much more should somebody blessing us out of their tongue? If God can create things, if the devil can create things from negativity on the tongue, how much more can God create great things, abundant things, by speaking kindly to one another, by praying kindly to one another, by declaring good things over each other? On our tongue, we have the power to bless. The Spirit follows our blessing. So it's an amazing way to give, isn't it? And their prayers for you. Praying is an amazing gift you can give another person. For you, their hearts will go out to you because of surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So this whole thing of giving, sharing back and forth blessing, it comes right from the one that gave everything for us. There's a cycle to giving, receiving, releasing, and overflowing, right? Cycle of giving, receiving, releasing, and overflowing. Reciprocity can be applied to every area of our lives. Let me just say this. This is really exciting. If you need friendship, give friendship. Amen. To somebody else that needs it. And this is a big problem in our culture. Our culture, we don't understand that. I've been in other cultures, and it's like that in every culture, but we have a little huge dose of it. So we get very clicky in our culture, and we really pay attention, you know, to people that do nice things to us, or able to do nice things for us. But let me just say, when we give nice things to people, when we give friendship or time, or there's different ways you can give, right? Give our time, give our friendship, give a blessing of some kind. You know, do something for someone, you know. This reciprocity can come in that way, too. And let me just say this, also, with regard to various things that you need, think about it not so much in terms of money, but just think in terms of what is it you need? I need more time. Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe you could be conscious of sowing more time, right? Just say, I need more time in my life. I need more time in my life. Then purposely give some away, even beyond what you already do, to somebody else and see what happens. Ah, think about this. You can take this all different directions. I need friendship. Some people say, I need a friend. Well, go and be a friend to someone that you know needs a friend. It's all alone. They may not be too popular. They may not even be like you. We always like the birds of a feather flock together apart. That's a poem, but it's not necessarily true in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Because you can flock together with people quite unlike you, and it's that giving away that also has the potential and friendship to bring others a friend that sticks closer than a brother, sister that you jive with, that you work with. You know, and this can happen in any time of your life. You think God's not going to answer you? Say, Lord, I'd like to be a friend to somebody. No. I'm not going to let you be a friend to anybody. God, I would like to do this for someone. No way. Ask hard and maybe I'll let it open. It's the other way. God, I will. Here you go. Lord, how can I sow toward this need that I have? I'm lonely. How can I give time to someone? How can I do that? Ooh, the possibilities are unlimited, right? Because this reciprocity can be applied not just in money, but every area of our lives. As the word suggests, forgiving and giving are intimately connected. Isn't that interesting? The word giving and the word forgiving, right? Because that's what you do, right, when you forgive. Luke 6, 27. But to those who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. I like to give, but not like that. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other. Should I keep reading? We're going pretty good till we got to this part. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to do? Is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full and with interest, I would imagine. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you'll be children of the Most High because He's kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful. This is your heavenly, your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. He also told in this parable, can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into a pit? The student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. In other words, you need to be like me. How Jesus came. No money, nothing, just one big giving time. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust? So these are all ways of giving, isn't it? Interesting. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Oh, my goodness. Amen. Talk about a religious spirit. That's what it'll do for you, man. We call it a religious. You're just looking, always looking at the weakness in somebody, and you just forget about yourself, right? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Whoa, that's full of lots of stuff, isn't it? Lots of suggestions from our sponsor, right? Matthew 23:23-24. Woe to you teachers of the law, you religious people and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, you know, not only your money, but like spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Ooh, I don't want to be there. The choices are, you see, it's very the bottom of your page here. The choice is ours, right? Floodgates of disaster, floods of disaster or floodgates of heaven? Which one do you want? I think I voted already. I know what I want, right? Let's just read these two last verses, all right? Where we stand. The choice is ours, floods of disaster or floodgates of heaven. And if you feel like you're giving away your life or you're in a position where you're just giving a lot, because some of us maybe get put in that space, maybe in a home situation or someone that's weak in our life and we're giving a lot. Just remember, God will catch up with you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're free to give. That's the thing. You're free. This, you can't earn your salvation, so God gave it freely. He paid the price. But what should happen on the inside of you, the Spirit should come inside of you and teach you to be like Jesus. And this being like Jesus, sometimes it can be hard. But for the most part, as you learn this, Hello? Wow. What, did that die for a minute, or am I just... Did I go deaf for a moment? No, I didn't. Okay. I must have been saying something important. Listen, this giving that we give... I want to read these verses again. Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them in practice, I'll show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep down, laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built.
Yeah.
I'm looking at well-built houses here. Even when you're in trouble, you're okay. Because God will get back to you.
Oh, yeah.
But the one who hears my words does not put them into practice like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So we want to build on the rock.
Yeah.
And we want to build toward blessing. And by the way, the blessings that we get, one of the blessings that are the best for all of us, that we look forward to the most, is that our children would rise up and do the same. So when we live a life of generosity and kindness, guess what? You're already invested in the next generation.
Uh-huh.
By the way, even the dorkiest of your kids, the ones that think like you think they're not watching, they're all watching. And when they watch you for a lifetime and they watch how you, maybe you got saved when they were 9 or 10 or 15 or even recently, they're watching. They're not nearly as secure as you think they are. In whatever place they're in, you know. They're looking too. And they're looking for a model, right? And so they watch you. And they may not do what you think right away, but eventually it'll come back on them. And they'll be givers too. You modeled it for them. And maybe you didn't do so good while they were being raised, but you're doing good now. They'll notice. Children always notice. It's one thing I noticed. Doesn't matter how old they are. They notice everything you do. They really do. You think they're not paying attention. They're paying attention all the time. You know why? Because kids, I don't care if they're 4 or they're 50, they're looking for something. They're looking for a model. They're looking for success. They're looking for answers to their life. Right? So let's finish on this. I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3:6. So it's been this way from the beginning. From the beginning of creation to now, the law of giving and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping has been in place. We notice it even in nature. You sow a seed and you get result, right?
Yes.
It's all over the place. So he starts this. I, the Lord, don't change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. You know why? Because I'm so compassionate. And everything I do, I'm trying to help you, not hurt you. I'm trying to get you and lead you to how I created the universe. This is a successful life. Do this and you'll be happy. I'm trying to teach you. Ever since the time of your ancestors, however, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? Well, a mere mortal rob God. You rob me. But you ask, well, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings.
Yeah.
Of course, this is broader than this. Every day of our life is a possibility of giving an offering to someone, right?
Amen.
Sometimes I wonder if time is an offering. It's one of the hardest things we have to give. Sometimes people get a lot of money, but they get really selfish about their time. Money's easy, but the time thing, wow, that's a sacrifice. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Tithe me in the tenth of your income. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And this is the whole thing for all forms of giving. All of it. This is it. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Inflation. Inflation. Houses get more and more expensive. Keep feeling like you're getting robbed year after year. You know what? That's a pest. You know, I'm going to prevent that. You might have inflation in the world, but you're not going to have inflation in your own economy. I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops. And the vines in your fields will drop their fruit because before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Lord, I want to ask you that this area will call our church delightful.
Yeah.
I pray you could call us, the people that go to Vineyard Community Church, delightful,
delightful.
Blessed.
Blessed.
Let me just say something to you. We're all at different places in our life right now. Sometimes we find our place in self in a great time of need. Don't let that curse you. Don't let that shame you in any way. At any point in the spectrum, whether you're in heavy need or you're doing pretty good right now, you can always live like this. You can live like a sower and a giver, even in the depths of your life. And the payday is always there, and sometimes the pay comes quickly, and sometimes it takes longer. But this generous God of ours longs to be generous to you, longs to be good to you. That's why I love this phrase. And I just declare this over this assembly today.
Good measure.
Pressed down.
Shaken together.
Running over. Beyond you. I don't care where you're from or where you're doing, what you're doing. May the good measure hunt you down and find you. May the seed you've sown come back on your head. And may the Lord make you creative. Creative. To sow seed. Well, it's time, energy, whatever you're putting to that neighbor down the street, that person you help with their luggage, whatever it is. May God make you a generous and beautiful person in the kingdom. Giving and forgiving. The greatest lifestyle on the earth. I feel like one way you can give toward the Lord is praying and just simply asking. So I want to ask, I just encourage you to do this. If you want to be blessed, more blessed than you are right now, why don't you just take a moment? You can come up in the front. That would be great. Or you could just stay in your seat. Just take a moment and say, God, please, I just ask you to show me how to be a blessing. And by the way, if you need something today, physically, mentally, emotionally, some prayer in this area, we'll be glad to pray for you today right at the front, okay? So we'll do a little worship. Come up to the front if you like. There'll be some people up here to pray for you. If you just want to pray for your place, it might be a nice place to do some business with the Lord. Lord, show me where I'm short in this lifestyle. Show me some avenues. Make some doors open. Show me how I can be a giver. And Lord, where I'm at loss, I declare this promise right here that you said, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. Some of you have pests devouring your crops. You should need to take hold of it and say, stop it in Jesus' name. You have no authority to do that. Leave my crops and my vines alone. So you could pray like that today. Maybe some of you need to draw a line in the dirt. There's no dirt here, but draw a line in the floor, whatever. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, every prayer that's offered here, every prayer that's given away, and every prayer that's received, every bit of business we do in this moment of time right now, I pray you would hear from heaven, whether it's from up here, from his seats, and I pray as we do business for the Lord, you would show us what to do, you'd give us information, you'd comfort our heart, you'd show us how to sow, how to reap, you'd show us how to forgive. In every way, Lord, this Christmas season, I pray, God, there would be joy and a new season of grace over our life as we enter the new year. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.